But he's trying to make small talk, you know, oh, you got kids, that's great. By the way, we think you have cancer.
Welcome to Made Us. I am your host, Zach Weaver. My guest this week is a husband, father of two, former Marine, and now cancer survivor, Mr. Justin Agins. On this episode, Justin and I broach a topic that not many men want to talk about, and that topic is testicular cancer. This can be a super uncomfortable topic to talk about, an awkward one, and one most men do not want to talk about. But that's exactly why Justin and I bring it up, to have that conversation, and to let everybody know it's okay to talk about it. Guys, this episode isn't overly graphic, but it is a little more graphic than the episodes in the past, just because of the subject matter and discussing it firsthand. But there's some really good information in here, and I think it's really important episode for some men to listen to. Not just men, but everybody to listen to. Cancer affects us all, and early detection is the key. So please, share this episode and help raise awareness for this topic. Men are really weird and don't want to talk about sensitive subjects like this, myself included. But it's definitely something we need to do. So please share this episode with your friends, family, the man in your life, whoever it may be, your brother, your spouse, whoever. Share this episode with them and open the discussion. And definitely by sharing this episode, it's a huge way to support Made Us. Matter of fact, it's probably the biggest way to support Made Us is making sure you share the episodes with your friends. Another way you can support Made Us is by going onto Apple Podcasts and leaving us a 5-star rate and review. And also make sure you subscribe to the show. And in between episodes, if you want to check out what I got going on or things about the show, you can find us on social media, on Facebook at facebook.com/madeuspodcast or on Instagram and Twitter at madeuspodcast. So once again, I got to thank Justin. Justin is a fucking hero in this story. He really opens up and tells his story just like it was and lets everybody know that it's something that needs to be talked about and something that needs to be taken care of. And as sensitive as this subject is, we laughed a lot in this podcast, and I think you're going to laugh too. So I really hope you enjoy this conversation with Justin Agins. Justin, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm glad you're here, man. We just sat here and talked about your new tattoo that you're going to get, which is actually tomorrow.
Tomorrow, but that's correct.
But when this episode comes out, we'll be like a week and a half ago.
That's right.
So what are you getting?
I'm looking to get a hand tattoo for the first time.
That's stepping up, man.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. It's time. You know, I've been wanting to do it for a long time.
It's time to step up for that one.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, what's your wife think about that?
Oh, she's probably not on board with that too much.
Oh, yeah?
No, not a lot. But she said, you know, do what you want. It's your body. And I don't bug her when she picks a tattoo, so she doesn't want to bug me.
Yeah, she has some funny tattoos, too.
Yes, she does.
She cracks me up.
She's a nerd.
Yeah, she cracks me up with the stuff she gets. Yeah, my wife was not super stoked when I got my hand tattooed. She was not happy about it. But
no.
The thing with it was, I have the Fijian national flower on my hand.
Yeah.
And we went to Fiji for our honeymoon.
Okay.
So she can't be like...
She can't be too mad at you.
Yeah, she can't be too mad because it's for her.
Exactly.
But she ixnayed, you know, she ixnayed like my neck.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And at one point I was going to get the side of my head tattooed and she ixnayed that pretty quickly. Which in hindsight now I'm...
Pretty happy about that?
Pretty happy about that. As a... That was... I think I was a parent then, but that was definitely before, you know, I started coaching and doing all these things where I'm like, oh, that's...
She keeps asking me that question all the time, like... What do you think people are going to think of you? What about if you're going for a new job or, you know, a promotion at work? And I was like, well, you know, at this point in my life, if somebody wants to tell me I'm not going to get a job because of a tattoo, it's probably not the right job for me.
That's true. That's very true. So, Justin, tell listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name's Justin Agins. I work at the wastewater treatment plant, so I deal with poop, basically. And, you know, I've been doing that for a while, and it's pretty good. Before that, I was in the Marine Corps for 6 years.
Nice.
And I deployed to Iraq in 06, 07. And
yeah. How long were your tours?
I was there from December, like a week before Christmas, and that was 06, and we got back in April of 07. So it was only like 4.5 months, but I'll tell you, it was more than enough for me.
I can imagine.
We got to see enough action that I wouldn't probably want to do that again.
Oh, geez.
And,
yeah.
I mean, I got shot when I was there. Was kind of crazy.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got shot by a sniper.
Holy shit, man.
And it hit my body armor in the back while I was at an entry checkpoint.
Really?
Yeah, and so that was pretty crazy.
Did you know, like, what happened when it...
Oh, yeah, it knocked me to the ground. It felt like kind of like a brick hit me in the back.
Jesus.
And, like, somehow I threw myself behind, like, a bulletproof enclosure.
Was that on purpose or was that just dumb luck?
I mean, I think it was dumb luck, to be honest with you, but I'd like to say it was because of my training. But, I'm like, I hop up and I'm like searching for, a target and don't see anybody. And I yell up at my gunner and I was like, what happened? He's like, you were shot. And it was all like real quick, crazy. It was just like, they call it fog of war, but it really is like it's like you can't remember everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was kind of nuts.
That's kind of any, like, obviously, your instance was fog of war, but that's kind of like any like stressful situation.
Right.
You just react and you don't fully remember everything.
Exactly. Exactly.
Man, so that's crazy. So it didn't penetrate.
It did not penetrate. Thank God. Unfortunately, exactly a month after that, one of my Marine brothers was killed at the same spot.
Oh, man.
By a sniper. So it was
that close to being you.
It was that close, like an inch over, and I would have been dead too.
Jesus Christ, man.
So, it was a crazy time, but I wouldn't take it back for anything.
Yeah.
Like, it made me who I am today.
Man, I didn't have any idea about that.
Yeah. The next time tomorrow, when I get my tattoo, I'll see if I can bring my sappy plate because I still have it.
No shit.
Yeah. I actually gave it to my dad.
Really?
And, he kind of keeps it up on the mantle and, looks at it and shows it off to people once in a while.
Yeah, definitely. But if you can get it, I'd love to see it. I'd love to share a picture for my listeners.
Oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
That's super crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You can't talk to too many people. They're like, oh, I got shot. I'm doing all right.
Yeah, people like, I don't know how to bring it into conversation very well. It's because it's like one of those things. It's like, how do you talk about this? Like, are people going to freak out or are they going to be like, oh, ask me a million questions. Like, how many people did you kill? Zero, by the way. It's just, it's kind of one of those crazy things. And that's part of what made me who I am, I think, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I think about it all the time. So, especially around that time of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see that because that's something that just doesn't go away.
No.
And that's crazy. That's not even what I brought you to talk about tonight. And I'm already floored.
Yeah. I got a couple doozies.
You got shot. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. I like to throw that out there once in a while. Yeah, I got shot for you. No.
I thank you very much.
Oh, not like that, but no. I appreciate
it. No, I do thank you for your service because we're about the same age. And I'm not trying to be I'm going to come off like a real asshole by saying this. Like, I wasn't trying to duck the military, but it wasn't for me. Like, I knew it right away. It wasn't for me.
It's not for everybody. Believe me, it wasn't all that much for me either, but I made it through.
So a lot of people ask me, my dad was a Marine.
Okay.
And a lot of people ask me why I didn't join the military.
Yeah.
And I said, because my dad was a Marine.
Exactly. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Semper Fi.
Yeah.
I bet you heard that a lot growing up.
A lot. My dad still runs to Cadence.
Does he really?
He's got, and this is how bad it is. He has a Walkman, like a cassette tape Walkman with Cadence on it, will run to Cadence.
That is great.
Yep. It's pretty funny to see him do it.
I'd have to meet him sometime.
he's what you think.
He sounds like a hoot.
He looks just like me, shorter than me, and a little bit heavier than me now, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. He's a hardcore Marine. That's pretty awesome. Much till his death. I mean, he's there. I think that's all you guys, though.
That's basically true. I mean, like, we still go to the Marine Corps birthday ball every year.
Okay.
We go out and celebrate the Marines that died every year. We haven't missed a year, and that's been since 07. So
wow.
We go out every year, and,
That's really awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
That's really awesome. So there's a little bit more about you. You're married, right?
That's correct. I have a beautiful wife named Rachel.
Nice.
And two little girls that like to keep me busy all the time.
How old are they?
6.5 and 4.
So they're not too far off my kids. Mine are 8 and 4.
Right. Yep.
But you're both girls. So
both girls.
We're in a different world.
And
here.
They are daddy's girls.
Are they really?
They are addicted to daddy. If I'm home, they need my attention all the time.
Yeah.
And it sometimes is overwhelming, but I don't think I would change it for a second because they are like my best friends.
That's awesome.
When they're not screaming at each other.
Yeah. I'm very fortunate to not have girls. I mean, my boys beat the hell out of each other all the time, and
yeah,
they can be little assholes, but I don't know that I could deal with little girls, especially now.
Mine are like tomboys though. So yeah, they like to do everything that boys do.
We have a little neighbor girl that comes over and plays with the boys, which is, I love that they come over and play. But she is like just a shrill screech that I'm like, oh, boys don't have that. What is happening?
That is true.
Oh, my goodness.
Sometimes we just don't know what's going on. Is it like, did somebody kill themselves? Like, are they killing each other? What is going on? Yeah. We just don't know.
What the hell?
Yeah. So that's fun. They're exciting, but they're girls. It can be difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
They just get their stubbornness.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'm pretty sure that comes from me.
Yeah.
But
you don't think that comes from your wife at all?
She's stubborn, but not as stubborn as me. Oh, I'm like, if I don't want to do something, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And that's just the way I am. So
I'm pretty much right there. So the thing I'm bad about is if somebody tells me to do something, that's when it's over for me. That I'm kind of like, nah, I don't want to now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how I feel a lot of the time.
Yeah. So I've been told probably by 100 people that I need to watch the Boondock Saints. I've never seen it and I have no desire to see it now.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It could be the best movie ever. I have no desire anymore. And people laugh at me all the time. And I'm like, so many people have told me like it's such a great movie that I'm like, I don't want to watch it now.
I'm not going to do it now.
I'm just going to be a hard-headed asshole. So the real reason I brought you here is you had a life-changing experience very recently.
That's correct.
Like within the past month, right?
It was 2 months? March 20th.
Okay.
That, so the week months. Of that.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. And I don't know how to jump into it, but I had a orchiectomy.
Orchiectomy.
I like to start with a big word because it took me like seriously up until like a week ago to actually remember how to say it. But an orchiectomy is where you get your testicle removed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not fun.
I can imagine that it wasn't fun. We'll jump in. We'll go a little fast forward here for a second.
Yeah.
You had testicular cancer.
That's correct.
And they removed it.
That's right.
And now we're here. So
one ball and all.
When did you find it? I mean, how?
So, you know, we're guys. We don't like going to the doctor.
Yeah.
At least I don't. I hate going to the doctor. And I was kind of putting it off for a while, you know, physical. And I felt something.
Okay.
And it felt, you know, just like my testicle was far larger than the other one.
Okay.
And I was like, well, this seems weird. I don't remember it being like this before.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know. I'm a guy. It's probably just whatever.
Yeah, just something weird.
Just something weird. But then it started getting harder.
Okay.
And firmer. And that's the what the doctors would say. Does it feel firmer than the other one? And I'm like, well, yeah, it's basically as hard as a rock.
Oh, man, really?
And, you know, my doctor's like, well, that's not good. We need to get you in for a CT scan.
Okay.
So that was on a Tuesday that I went to the doctor for my physical.
How long from when you found it to when you went to the doctor? Like, so you said it got firmer. I mean, was it quickly or was it?
It was within a couple months
that I
noticed. You know, it was weird because it was, I don't know how to, you know, tell you, but like I was going like pee, you know, I was standing up and one of my nuts was in front of the other ones, like sitting on my thigh. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? This thing is huge.
Yeah.
I was like, am I getting like elephantitis? You know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, what did I damage myself? What happened here? That was when I was like, I got to get to the doctor. I got to get to the doctor. But, you know, I'm a guy. I keep putting it off like, it'll probably go away.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And I don't know if you know, when you go to the doctor and they, you know, tell you to turn your head and cough.
Yeah.
They're not actually looking for like cancer or anything like that.
Yeah, they're looking for a hernia.
Exactly.
Believe.
And I guess I'm just an idiot and I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I always thought they, you know, were feeling around to see if anything else felt wrong. Well, that's not the case. So I had to go in there telling them, hey, I feel something.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, we agree. We need to get you in for a scan now.
Okay.
So they actually had me. They wanted me to go that same night.
And what did you say? It was a CT scan?
CT scan. Yeah. Okay. It was basically like an ultrasound for your balls.
Okay.
Like, it was very weird. They, you know, they like, if you're, you know, you go in when your wife's pregnant and they do the ultrasound and they put the gel on the belly. Mm-hmm. It was the same thing. So it was a bit awkward.
I got a story about that. I'll tell you in a minute.
So we go in and do that. And I got a call the very next morning saying, you need to get to the urologist's office.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, this isn't a good sign. Yikes. You know, I can tell it was, you know, one step, two step, everything that you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
I was hearing. And I get into the doctor's office and he's sitting there and he's like, trying to, you know, make small talk with me. Very nice doctor. You know, I would recommend him. Dr. Cracklaw, he's wonderful.
Okay.
But he's trying to make small talk, you know, oh, you got kids. That's great. By the way, we think you have cancer.
Holy shit. What like, a way to break it to you.
I was like, wow, okay. I don't know what to say to that. And I was like, well, what's the next step? And he's like, well, you know, we're going to have to remove it. I was like, wow.
So when he broke it, that it was cancer, did you think that it could be cancer, or were you just...
I was pretty convinced that
it was. You're pretty convinced?
Yeah. I don't know. I had this like sixth sense where I had a feeling.
Yeah.
I had it for a while, actually.
Okay.
Which is weird. So I was pretty prepared, and I was just like, okay, what's the next step? And he's like, well, we're going to have to remove it. And I had already done, you know, my WebMD, you know, Googling is, that you're not supposed to do before that, anything.
It's absolutely like the worst possible thing you can do. Every time you do anything on WebMD, it's just like it tells you possible thing.
Yeah. You're going to die tomorrow.
I put in one time, I was having shoulder pain and I was trying to look through like for shoulder pain. And I went put in my symptoms and all this stuff. And it was like, you could have a dislocated shoulder or you could have cancer. Or you could have herpes, you know, and I'm like, that's my fucking shoulder. Like, what do you mean?
What do you mean? So, yeah, he tells me he's going to remove it. And I was like, all right, when are we going to do this? Is it going to be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Like, I know you got to schedule it way out. And he's like, we're going to schedule you for 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Whoa.
I was like, okay, hold on. I got to call my boss. Like, I got to work tonight at midnight. Like, I'll be at work, you know? And, it moved really quick from that
point. I'm surprised it moved that quickly. I mean, I guess they want to get it out of you and want to...
He was going on vacation.
Oh, okay.
He was going on vacation, and he was like, I want to get this done before I'm gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised they... I mean, I guess, like I said, I guess they want to get it out of you. You know, that's right. Like, the best possible thing is to get it out of you as quickly as possible.
Exactly. So, you know, I go in, and I do it all... I think they're going to, you know, make the incision in my nutsack.
Mm-hmm.
And really, they do it in your abdomen.
Yeah.
And then they push everything up.
Oh, that sounds rough.
It was.
Were you awake?
No. Okay. I was fully under. I'll tell you what, once that the drugs wore off,
yeah,
I was grounded.
Did Rachel tell you my thought process on this?
No.
So right around this is probably maybe 2 weeks after your surgery.
Okay.
I was tattooing your wife, and we were talking about it, and she said something along the lines of, like, would you tattoo Justin's scar? I thought for a second, and I'm like, yeah, I guess I would. I guess I would tattoo it for him. You know, I'm like, it's kind of weird, but, like, I'm friends with Justin. Like, if he wants it tattooed, like, I'll tattoo his scar. And then, that was the conversation for a second, and then we kind of talked about it a little bit more, and somehow your scar got brought up again. I'm like, where is it? Like, how did they cut him? And she's like, oh, it's like right here on his abdomen. And I'm like, oh, oh, good.
Oh, that's much better than what I thought I was going to have to do.
I had in that moment.
Hey, that's friendship right there.
In that moment, I had talked myself into like, I'll do it. Like, I'll take one for the team for him. Like, it's on your abdomen. That's a whole different.
That's a lot better.
I did too. I was like, I'll do it.
Hey, whatever. Well, when I found out, one of the first people I told was my dad. Me and my dad are best friends. So I texted up my dad and I was like, hey, I got some bad news. And I sent him like a one ball from a pool table. And I was like, well, your son's going to have one ball. And he's going through prostate cancer right now.
Okay.
And so, I wanted to break it to him in a way that it wasn't going to, like, just, like, ground him. And he was, at first, he was like, well, I was going to get all serious with you, but you sent me that picture. And I thought, well, it's fair game now. Here comes the jokes. And I've heard a lot since then.
Yeah. Didn't your wife's friends send you a bunch of weird?
Oh my God, that was great. So that was the day I found out I had cancer for sure. So it was after the surgery. They got the biopsy back.
Okay.
Like it was, yes, that was 100% cancer. And so it was kind of like one of those days, like they told me, oh, you might have to do chemo. You might have to do radiation. We just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
And they sent me her patch group. They do the online baby wearing groups and stuff. Yeah. It's called the patch group. They sent me a box and I open up the box and there was nuts. They sent me one of those magic eight balls.
Nice.
They sent me like one of those like balls you sit on and bounce around on. Snowballs. What else was in there? Oh, it was so amazing. It completely took all the like the craziness,
yeah,
and everything. It just kind of flew it away. I was like, well, this is great.
Yeah. And it cracked me up when I heard that story.
Oh no, that was awesome. They made my day for sure.
So I'm going to back up for a minute because we kind of got a little out of here.
Yeah.
So you went from, what day did you go into the doctor?
It was a Tuesday.
A Tuesday. And yep, they were going to do the surgery the next day.
So I went on Tuesday to my physical.
Okay.
Wednesday was the CT scan. Thursday, I met the urologist. Friday, I had the surgery.
Wow.
4 days. So I want to say in 4 days, I learned I had cancer. And in 4 days, I was cured of cancer. That's what I like to think of.
Yeah. Have you had to do any radiation or?
Thank God it didn't spread anywhere.
Okay.
And I've had to do multiple scans. I actually just did one last Monday.
Okay.
And everything looks great. I think it's going to be good, actually. That's I'm going to have good. To keep doing this for every 3 months for the next 2 years, though, which isn't as fun because I got to get the IV with the dye in it.
Yeah.
And do these huge scans.
My mother is a breast cancer survivor. Okay. And I know that's awesome. Kind of when that happened too, you know, there was after they got it out and all that stuff and she was past it. I know that she had to do regular scans pretty often, yeah, which I think is pretty common.
Yeah. They say it's pretty common.
And I think there's a point at 5 years or something that you can, if it still hasn't came back, you get to, they back off of it a little bit. I think
they consider you in remission at that point.
Okay.
And like, and then they can back off to like, I think like once a year.
Okay. That makes sense. So I do have something that I have not talked to anybody about.
Okay.
There's two people that know this at the moment, which is funny because I'm about to tell a bunch of people.
Right.
You actually helped me.
Okay.
Because you went through this and I checked myself and found something.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So like I said, I have not talked about this to anybody. So it's funny that I'm about to open up to.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, thousands of people here.
Right.
But yeah, you were the person that kind of, you know, made me think about it and the same thing.
Right.
Like you said, peeing. And I'm like, no, what? Something's going on here. What's going on here? I waited. I didn't wait as long as you did. It doesn't sound like. I waited about a week.
Okay.
Just to make sure that I wasn't totally full of myself, you know. But at this point, I'm freaked out because you just went through this. So right. I'm kind of like hypersensitive that maybe I'm, oh, this could be anything, you know, like, right. Oh no, I've got cancer now. Like I know I've got cancer. So I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor last week, actually. Okay. And we went through all of it. And I had an ultrasound on Friday.
Okay.
Same thing you were talking about, which is funny because I went through the same process. I had an ultrasound.
Definitely a weird thing.
It's like the most awkward thing possible.
They wanted to know if I'd let the trainee do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I want somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I was in there and I was, you know, you're already freaked out.
Oh, definitely.
And the lady goes through all the whole, like, all right, you're going to lay like this. You're going to do this. You're going to cover yourself like this. You're going to do this.
Right.
And she's like, okay, do you have any questions? And I said, I don't want to do this as much as you don't want to do this. So let's just get it over with.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
But talking with my doctor, it seems to be benign.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So it's just awesome.
Just the weirdness.
Are they recommending that you do nothing at this point?
We haven't fully discussed options on what to do.
Okay.
But that sounds like what it's going to be at the moment.
Yeah, that's great.
But I'll tell you what, with your story is really what brought it to me and the reason I even thought about it. You know, right. I probably would have been dipshit and not done anything, you know, and luckily for me, and I say this and this sounds super shitty because you had the opposite end, You know, luckily for me, mine is benign.
No, that's what you want when you go in there.
Without you going through this, I wouldn't have even probably considered it. I'm an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the same guy that this year I was in the hospital for pneumonia because I got sick and didn't do anything.
Right.
So I'm that guy that's like...
No doctors. Yeah. I get it.
I'm the guy that's going to die of a paper cut because something happened.
It's funny that you said this because my brother-in-law actually did the same thing. Like, he's quite a bit younger, but I don't think a lot of people know that the age for testicular cancer is like 18 to 35.
Yeah. So my doctor told me that. My doctor went through the whole thing and he said, testicular cancer only affects about 1% of men.
Right.
In general.
Yeah.
He said, however, men 18 to 35, it's 12%.
Yes.
Obviously, that's where both you and I fit into that age bracket.
Right.
So it was something I never would have thought of.
Right. You know? No, I thought it was an old man thing.
Yeah, I did too.
I had no clue.
I did too.
So it was just like when they told me, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where we are.
Yeah. And that was a big reason I wanted to bring you on and talk to you is I wanted people to hear this and know, like, you need to do something. You need
exactly.
To, you know,
don't wait.
Yeah. You went through it and luckily, you're doing well.
Right.
And my story is a little different. Really, it's nothing. But
It
could have been. And had you not been through this, I wouldn't have even probably considered it because, like I said, I'm that dumbass. Well,
not only that, but now you know you kind of have a basis. You got one of these scans, mm-hmm. and down the road, if something changes, you'll have that to compare it to. And,
yeah.
And that's a big thing for these doctors these days too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very fortunate to learn that what I have is nothing, but man, I was scared. I mean, I don't even want to say I was scared because I think I watched you go through it. In as cheesy as this is going to sound, watching you go through it kind of, I don't want to say empowered me, but like empowered me to like, well, fuck it. I got cancer. Here we go. Let's get rid of this. You know, like,
that's the way I thought. Like, my wife kept asking me, why aren't you freaking out more? Why aren't you freaking out more? What am I going to do? I can't change it.
Yeah.
All I can do is try and fix it at this point. I can't go back and change it. I can't make it go away on my own.
Yeah.
Let's get it taken care of. Let's go. Chop that thing off.
Yeah. And by the time I had told my wife my situation, I was to the point like you where I was like, yep, this is what it is. Here we go. Like, yep. It doesn't matter. You know, we got to do this.
Right.
And again, my story ends differently than yours. But yeah, you really inspired me to give me that. Inspired is a weird word to say in this situation, but you were the person that kind of made me think to do it or made me even think to...
Think about it.
Think about it because it's not something you want to think about. It's not, first of all, it's not something you think about, and then you don't want to think about it either.
Exactly. I put it off for a bit too long. I knew something was up, and I was just like, no, this can't, this isn't right. No, whatever. Well, I learned differently.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're doing well.
I appreciate that.
It's a scary thing for sure.
I think the scariest part of the whole situation for me, which is going to sound absolutely ridiculous, is that I couldn't work out.
Yeah.
I absolutely love working out. I wasn't going to be able to work out for 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that really upset me because I hadn't missed a day in over 5 years before that.
Yeah, you're a maniac.
I mean, I'm not in that good of shape. I mean,
yeah, but you run, but you do all sorts of shit.
I run, I work out, I do all sorts of things, but I just don't like missing it.
Yeah.
And when I wasn't able to run, I mean, I wasn't able to walk up my steps
really
for the first 3 days.
Wow.
And that was awful because I'm always doing stuff around the house. The girls are always wanting to jump on me and play, and I was stuck in bed.
Yeah.
And it's like, we didn't want to worry the children about it because like, how do you tell a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, oh, dad has cancer.
Yeah.
That wasn't something we were ready or wanting to even think about talking about.
Yeah. Because even if you tell them, they don't understand it. Then you have to try to explain that.
Exactly. And it just scares them.
Yeah.
So we just told them, you know, daddy has an owie. Don't jump on his crotch.
Yeah. How long was your recovery time?
I mean, I'm still recovering technically.
Okay.
But like, it's just sore now. The real recovery was probably 2 weeks.
Okay.
A good 2 weeks. I was off work for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And then went back to it slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, are you back working out yet?
Oh, yeah. I can wait that long. I think I started my first workout at like a week and like 6 days or something.
You're one of those
guys.
I was like,
I'm doing it. I don't care what the doctor says.
Yeah, you're one of those guys.
Yeah, I'm stubborn.
That's funny. So with the recovery, I mean, you obviously, like you said, you have children and it's hard to deal with.
Yep.
And you said you were out of work, what, 2 weeks?
A little over 2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks.
Yep.
That's a long recovery, but not, I mean, it's not, I guess I don't know what to expect.
Exactly. I wasn't sure what I was going to expect either.
Yeah.
And it was pretty sore. I mean, it hurt real bad. Like, yeah. I couldn't move in certain ways, but it was quick. To be honest, like at the time it felt like it was forever, but it really was a pretty quick recovery.
Okay.
Which is normal for these type of procedures. That's apparently
good. That's really good.
Yeah, I'm doing really good now. I'm pretty happy that it's all done and over with. And
so what'd your family think about this? You obviously, your family all knows.
Oh yeah, they all know. You know, they don't talk about it too much. We have a lot of cancer going around in the family right now. My opa, just grandpa for German people. He has leukemia.
Oh man.
My uncle also has leukemia.
Yeah.
My dad's going through prostate cancer right now. And then for me to get, you know, the testicular cancer, it's just been too much. And I think people just kind of don't really want to bring it up right now. So it's been kind of just quiet, you know, like they'd all wish me, oh, we hope you feel better. We can't believe this happened. But
yeah,
it was like 2 days and then everybody forgot all about it, which I guess is good. Let's just move on, you know, but like, let's not forget that it can happen at the same
absolutely.
Time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a fickle thing. I mean, so many people are affected by it. It's amazing. And there's so many different forms of it. You know?
Exactly.
So you just went through four different people in your family that have it. Like I said, my mother's a breast cancer survivor. My wife's mother, we lost my wife's mother to cancer.
Oh no.
You know, it's...
It's everywhere these days, it seems.
It really
like.
Is.
And I don't know if that's just because of how advanced the medical field is getting.
Yeah.
And they're just finding it more, or if it's just out there more. I really don't know.
Yeah. I just lost another friend. I say just within probably 2 months ago.
Okay.
A friend of mine from South Bend. She had breast cancer and she went through all of it, double mastectomy, whatever. And then they found out she had a genetic disposition to get cancer.
Oh no.
So she had a complete hysterectomy. I mean, went through all of this. She was 35 at the time that she went through her hysterectomy. She had a double mastectomy, you know, and then she ended up getting cancer in her lymph nodes, and that was the end. I mean, it was a rough go for her, and it's tough, but I'm glad to see she's out of her pain. Right. You know, I mean, it's a sad way to go
for sure.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah. It's rough.
It's awful.
But it affects so many people, and
it does.
You know, I'm not a specialist by any means. I'm an idiot that talks, and I'm an idiot that draws pictures. But I think the people that really can find early detection are the people that really have a chance.
Absolutely,
You seem to have you seem to catch it pretty early, even though you said you kind of waited a little while.
The doctor said I was lucky because it was all contained.
Yeah.
If it were to have gone on the outside of the testicle or, you know, even spread further than that, you know, it would have been a different story. But I was lucky because it was contained. So, you know, that time I waited a little bit, I got lucky.
Yeah.
That was all it was. So, yeah, definitely. Earlier you catch it, the better chances you have.
Yeah. How long did you wait?
You know, they've asked me this question and I've always tried to remember. It was... Between three to six months. Yeah.
See, I think that's what most men do. And I think that's a big, obviously it's a big no-no. And so many men don't want to think about this or talk about it.
Exactly. Like, it's going to sound weird, but you know, I told my wife, I was like, hey, come over here and feel my balls. She's like, yeah, I've heard that one before. You know, like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, I'm serious. I feel something. She's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What is it? I don't know. And it's one of those things. It's hard to like, oh, I'm going to go to the doctor and have them check it out when nobody knows really.
Yeah.
What I was looking for. Now I do. Okay. It was getting firmer. It was getting larger.
Yeah.
Those are two telling signs. They also say if you have any pain or if trouble urinating or waking up urinating in the middle of the night, they say those are also signs. I didn't have that problem, but, you know, I had a couple of them.
Yeah.
So I would just say, if you have any doubt, just go get it checked out.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I was very fortunate. And my doctor told me that too. He said, basically, like you said, all those symptoms. And he told me that the doctor that I went to actually used to practice what they call college medicine. So basically that age group.
Okay.
And he said he had seen a lot of it. And he said that he was, even at the point before I had my ultrasound, he was very confident that it was not.
Oh, that's great.
Just because he said, once you've, he said seen it, but obviously it's, you know,
right.
Once you've seen it, he's like, you'll never not know what it is.
Okay.
He just was confident in it that it wasn't, because he's like, I've seen it a lot.
Right.
This is what it, you know.
This is what it should be. This is what it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is scary, but I definitely think that men need to go get it checked out.
Oh, absolutely.
And I wouldn't have, I mean, I say it honestly, I probably wouldn't have, or I would have waited God knows how long. Fortunate enough for me, it's nothing.
Right.
But I didn't know that.
I freak out now. So even, I mean, it hasn't been very long, but like I find myself like checking myself all the time now, because yeah. They say if you get it in one, it's very possible to get it in the other one.
Okay.
Like, you know, your percentage goes way up.
Yeah.
And so it's like every little thing, I kind of like trying to not freak out all the time. It's like, okay, don't be a hypochondriac, but you know, I've been checking myself more often even now.
Yeah.
And I know that if I have something that feels off, I go to the doctor now. I just like, hey, this is what's going on. Tell me I'm okay.
Yeah. My experience is so much fresher than your experience. I mean, your experience is very fresh. Mine was last week.
Yeah, I know.
It was awkward.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's uncomfortable. It's mm-hmm. awkward. It's embarrassing.
Yep.
But I feel so much more at ease by doing it that I'm happy I did it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go in there and tell the doctor this and then have to have the doctor feel you and do all these things and then go in and get an ultrasound, or you got a CT scan, I got an ultrasound, but basically the same thing, you know?
Well, yeah, I did both.
Oh, you've done both, yeah. It's uncomfortable. It's not fun. It's awkward. It's embarrassing. Like, I mean, I was very honest with that lady, and I said, I don't want to do this as much as you don't.
Exactly.
So let's just get it over with, because that's how I felt. I'm like, it wasn't even so much, I mean, I didn't want to have it done, but it was also the fact that like, you know, that this person doing it doesn't want to be doing it either, which just makes it that much more like awkward.
Exactly. It's so awkward.
But having it done and knowing that.
Having knowledge is power.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, once you find out what, you know, how it is, you feel so much better.
Absolutely.
So much better. I wish I would have gone sooner, but I also have a female doctor, so it was even more awkward.
Okay.
So I'm going in there and she has to have another person in the room.
Yeah.
She calls a female nurse. So I'm like, well, this is the most people that I've ever seen.
You know, you said that. So I went to a male doctor, but the ultrasound tech was a female.
Yep.
And my wife's like, did they pull someone in with you? And I'm like, no.
Mm-mm.
She's like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, it wasn't like that, but she was telling me that when she was pregnant and had a male doctor, he would have to pull in a nurse or something, right. You know what I mean, with him. So
yeah, for my ultrasound CT scan, it was just a female nurse or a female technician.
Yeah.
Yes. That was the only person in the room. But when it came to my actual doctor, they had to pull somebody in the room. So it was like, okay.
It's kind of weird. Here's a funny one for you. I don't want to say the reason I know this, but my mother was an ultrasound technician.
Okay.
So thank God that my mother wasn't a technician.
Might have been a little bit awkward.
Yeah, been super awkward.
Can I have somebody else today, please?
So I really appreciate you joining me tonight.
No, I am glad you guys you called me in here. This was great.
Yeah. So I always end the show by asking for one piece of advice.
Okay.
So if you had one piece of advice for a guy out there that might possibly feel something, what would it be?
I would just say, definitely go to the doctor as soon as you can. Tell them you feel something. They're going to ask you to show them right where it's at.
Yeah.
Don't be embarrassed. It is so much better to get it taken care of than letting it grow. They said that testicular cancer used to be like a 95% death sentence.
Wow. Now, I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah. It used to be awful. And now it's like 1%.
Yeah.
So just go in there. That's only with early detection, obviously. If you let it go, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
It always does. So I would just say, don't be embarrassed. Go to the doctor. show your girlfriend. Have somebody feel your balls.
That's the perfect way to end it. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you for having me.
Trying to figure some shit out here.
So you don't want me to like yodel or anything?
Yeah, I mean, that would be hopefully not the right thing to do.